transitioning from a morning of worship to a different subject, but it's likewise a subject that those of us in the kingdom concern ourselves with. You may have noticed from the program that the title of the message this morning is Educating Children of the Church. And the phrase children of the church is chosen with intention. The reference is to those children which are our own. It might be said that, or has been pointed out, I think in very general terms, the calling of the church is a dual calling. On one hand, the church is to evangelize, and that is outreach, to reach out. There is a dual calling of the church, and that is to nurture. That is, it's a calling within. We sometimes use the words outreach and inreach. And the service this morning now transitions to inreach. We talk about nurturing those among us. So the children of the church, those children that are our own, for whom we are responsible for, who are children of the church growing up in children in Christian homes, in the homes of Christian mothers and fathers. And a part of our calling is to teach and train them. The purpose for the message this morning is in preparation for our commissioning service next Sunday, Lord willing. As was already announced, next Sunday, Lord willing, Cross Point Mennonite Church plans to commission Brother Christopher Miller as a Christian school teacher. This is acting upon a decision that was made on June 11, 2014 at our men's meeting. And so we'll take these few minutes that are left of our morning service here to explain, talk about what this is all about and the underlying purpose. The passage that I will be reading, the text that I will be reading from this morning is actually several. The first one is in Judges chapter 2, and then from Ephesians 4. Judges chapter 2 and Ephesians 4. There's a verse in Judges 2 that is almost an exact duplicate of a verse in the outgoing chapter of Joshua 24, the last chapter in Joshua 24. It's verse 31. Excuse me. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And then in Judges, the author was inspired to repeat that verse and then further expand on it. And here is the further expansion. And so let's note this. Reading now from Judges 2, verse 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance. And I'm not going to read through where that was. Verse 10 says that also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. An entire generation passed from the scene. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt and followed other gods, of the gods of the, and here's a class of people that we should take note of, the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And I'm going to stop reading there. Leaders and teachers die. Let's note that. Leaders and teachers die. And let's note this, moms and dads, there's a sense in which while we are here present with our children, there's a certain kind of comfort or a certain sense of control that we have since we, while we are present, are able to teach and instruct and guide our children in the ways of the Lord, and we are able also to ward off evil influences. So there's a sense in which there's a certain comfort and a certain sense of control while we are still present. But note this, moms and dads, note this, you and I are going, if the Lord tarries, you and I are going to pass from this scene. We will be laid beneath the sod and the green grass is going to grow over us while our children grow into adulthood and their children after them follow in the same path. And if the Lord tarries, our great-grandchildren, your and my great-grandchildren, will not know our names any more than you know the names of your great-grandfather and grandmother. And I've tested this enough to know that most of you don't. There's something sobering about this. Because we see from the biblical record, and as we look at the time of the judges, passing from Joshua to Judges, and we see how that there arose a generation that did not know the acts, the mighty acts of God. What happened? Something broke down there. How is it that this wonderful story, the truth of how God dealt with His children, were not passed along from generation to generation? Is there a remedy to ward off the tendency for us to not teach or pass on effectively to our children the Christian faith? And by the way, note that in the time of the judges, not only was the faith not passed on, but the influence of the people round about, the influence of the culture in which we live. You know, I mean, let's think about our destiny, our manifest purpose here in life as God's children here on this earth is to represent God in our times. In our generation, demonstrate to a world that does not know who God is, demonstrate who He is. But not only do we see this pattern that the people themselves no longer represent God in their culture, they are so influenced by the people round about or the culture in which they live that they begin to worship their gods. Gods with a small g, begin to worship their gods and cause and themselves start doing evil like the culture round about. So is there a remedy for this? Ephesians chapter 4. And He, that's Jesus, gave unto the church, He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It's for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now think here of what the gift that God has given to the church and the purpose that God has given these gifts to the church is so that we might no longer be, verse 14, children, henceforth no longer be tossed about like children, but that we would grow up and mature in our Christian faith. And teach and train our children. God has given to the church the gift of teaching. Romans 12, in the passage that was not read earlier this morning by Brother Mark, in that passage, I'm going to pick up there and read some of these verses. Verse 5, so we being many, this is we as a church being many individuals, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, Verse 6, having been gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. The remedy. I would propose to you that the remedy for the dilemma that the people of God find themselves in, where in the course of several generations faith is lost, the remedy is that God has given gifts to the church, and He has given the gift of teaching. And the gift of teaching is more than just the passing, the transmission of knowledge or facts, you know, knowledge from one head to another. But the gift of teaching is the, and I'm summing this up into one sentence. And books have been written about this. But the gift of teaching is the capacity or the ability for an instructor to transmit knowledge in such a way that the students learn to think for themselves. So that they, as they rise up, as they grow up, they will be able to think for themselves and understand the faith. And so the transmission of Christian faith is not just the transmission of doctrine, it is that, or how to live the Christian life, it is that, or how to be born again, it is that, but it's the teaching of truths that enable a new generation to rise up and themselves think and understand and in turn teach their children. Apt to teach is what the Bible says. And the Apostle Paul, soon on in his ministry, in the founding of churches, in putting leaders and elders into place in every church, he began to look for men who were apt to teach, those who are able to transmit truth from one generation to the next, and do it in such a way that the learners are then able to also to think for themselves and to learn and grow in their faith. And so it's there's the problem, there's the remedy. It's the same dynamic, that took place during the time of the judges is ours today. Brethren and sisters, let's remind ourselves that the emphasis and the influence of the people round about is as real today, and the pressure is as great today in Holmes County, Ohio, as it was in ancient Israel during the time of the judges, when they were living right next to idol worshippers. And the Philistines were constantly pressing in upon them. The pressure, the dynamic is altogether the same. And the remedy is the gift that God has given to the church to teach and transmit effectively to the next generation the truths and the ability to think through these truths and what they mean for themselves, so that they will be able to then transmit the faith to their generation. And this is the plan and the purpose of God. And it's for this reason that we have identified, if you would, Steve, I laid a paper on your for the overhead. And I'm just pointing this out just to remind ourselves, for Crosspoint Mennonite, among our core values, which we have identified 10, the number 9 of our core values is Christian education. We are committed to providing Christian education for our children using curriculum that develops a biblical worldview. And in our brotherhood agreement, we further elaborate on, well, what does this then actually mean? Under Christian education, elementary and high school education, we believe the Bible is the foundation of all truth and must be incorporated into our children's education. We encourage our children to attend private Christian schools using curriculum which develops a biblical worldview. There are a few bullet points here within which to think about this matter. There are basically two kingdoms, a kingdom of light and a kingdom of darkness. It seems strange to have those who walk in darkness educate the children of light. Doesn't it? Another bullet point. If Jesus Christ is Lord, and He is, then He is Lord of all truth. We cannot divide things into secular and sacred. Another truth, another bullet point. Deuteronomy 6 tells parents that in all they do, they should provide a godly education 24/7. I think that's loosely paraphrasing Deuteronomy 6, okay? But that essentially wraps it up by saying, educate your children in the ways of the Lord 24/7. And the final bullet point, three key institutions shape a child. It's the home, it's the church, and it's the school. Children are served best when all three institutions point them in the same direction. So, these are the principles which underlie the action that we as a congregation are planning to take next Sunday when we will be commissioning Christopher Miller as a teacher. Why is our congregation taking this action? What does this mean for Cross Point Mennonite? What does this mean for Christopher and Stephanie? What does this mean for Maranatha Christian School? By the way, I might just to make sure we have a definition for those of you that care about such things. Strong's Concordance word number 1320, didaskalos, means a teacher. That's the word. Didaskalos is the word that's used in Ephesians 4. And he gave unto the church, he gave all these various gifts. And also in Romans 12, a form of that word is used, different tense, but a form of the same word. And here's what it means. A teacher, an instructor, acknowledged for their mastery in the field of learning. In Scripture, a Bible teacher, competent in theology, who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of man. One who is fitted to teach is the definition of this word, the Greek word that is used in the gift of teaching. Is teaching our children important? This is a rhetorical question. Another quotation from Menno Simons, the second one this morning. For this is the chief and principal care of the saints, that their children may fear God, do right, and be saved. Menno Simons. So, to sum this up, why is our congregation taking this action? Number one, we recognize that Jesus gave to the church some with the spiritual gift of teaching. Number two, we recognize that Christopher is exercising the gift of teaching in his vocation as a career Christian educator. Number three, we realize that Christopher is directly teaching some of our church members or our church members' children, and indirectly, through his administration in the school, teaching the rest of our children. The next question, what does this mean for Cross Point Mennonite? Let me say, just to clarify, this is not an ordination, but a commissioning, which is giving him a charge. And the charge is to provide provide our children, or say the children of the church, an academic education in a spiritual context. As compared to pastors, for example, who are charged to provide soul care to the members of the church, this charge is to provide an academic education in a spiritual context and leading to a biblical worldview. Number two, what it means to Cross Point Mennonite, we have commissioned Christopher to exercise the gift of teaching in the Christian school supported by our church. That would be Maranatha School. Three, this commissioning also calls Christopher to be accountable to the church in the exercise of his teaching vocation. Number four, by this commissioning, the church commits to provide support to Christopher in his teaching vocation. Next question, what does this mean for Christopher and Stephanie? Number one, Christopher and Stephanie accept this commissioning as a confirmation of their calling to be workers in the church by teaching the children of the church in our Christian school. Number two, we are formally commissioning Christopher for this time and place in the exercise of the gift of teaching our children in a Christian school, which is a ministry of the church in training our children. And three, if Christopher and Stephanie cease teaching at a school supported by our congregation or attended by children of our church, then this commission would cease and he would be released from the charge. And four, what it means for Christopher and Stephanie is that they accept the accountability. You know, accountability is two-sided, has two sides to it. And so they accept being accountable to the congregation for the exercise of this gift at the school. What does this mean for Maranatha Christian School? Number one, Maranatha Christian School is not commissioning Christopher, it's the church, just to clarify that. And two, Maranatha Christian School receives Christopher as called and sent by Cross Point Mennonite, one of its sponsoring churches. I trust that this kind of provides some background for our service next Sunday, if the Lord tarries and we gather here together. That will be our purpose in the commissioning of Brother Christopher as a teacher exercising ministry within the church in the arm of our teaching ministry that is our Christian school.